Ephesians chapter 5. I tell you, as I travel across the country, I believe the church as a whole needs to fall back in love with Jesus. That would settle a lot of things in our life. It would settle a lot of things that we have given ourselves to if we just fall back in love with Him. And He is worthy of our love. And I tell you, He is the greatest friend that you'll ever have. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, I really believe one of the greatest needs in our churches is preaching on the Spirit-filled life. And if the Lord would help me, I want to preach on the characteristics of being filled. Look in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I want to say, first of all, by the way of introduction, I want to walk us through a few chapters and deal with some things about the walk of the believer. We find, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 that he talks about the past walk of the believer, who that we were dead in the trespasses of sin. He talks about two things in that verse. He talks about that there is a course of this world. It isn't an accident that the world lives the way they do and dress the way they do and talk the way they do and cuss the way they do and the music they listen to and the movies that they watch. I told the preacher, being back up north, you don't have to be up there long before you begin to hear just regular people speaking vulgar and saying terrible words. You know why? Because there's a course of this world, and this world is on the course. But thank God, when you get saved, you get off of that course. Amen. There also, he talked about the children of disobedience. Listen, if you're not saved, you're a rebel tonight. That's just the bottom line. And if you claim you are saved and you're a rebel, there's a good chance you've not been born again. Amen. I tell you, God changes your life and you become a child of obedience and not disobedience. Amen. And then there is the present walk of the believer in chapter 2 and verse 10. He talked about the fact that we are a new creation, a new creature. You know what he said? We are his workmanship. I don't understand people that, Brother Craig, they've been saved 15 years and there's no change in their life. That is saying that God doesn't have the ability to change them. He does have the ability to take a bottle from a drunk and take a needle from a dope addict. He does have the ability thank God, to make us a new creature. Hallelujah. That's the present walk of the believer. Not only a new creature, but new character. You know why? Because he said, unto good works. God changes us. When he saves a man, he changes a man. Amen. We find number 3, the practical walk of the believer. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. He said to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That means having the qualities of your calling. I'm going to be honest with you. The church, Brother Laddie, has slid so far today. I'm talking about not this church specifically, but every church in general. They could not take the preaching I came up under. They cannot take the old-fashioned kind of preaching that men used to do. They didn't care. They wouldn't purposely try to hurt your feeling, but they wasn't going to not preach it because you didn't like it. Amen? They just preached the truth anyway. way. And so there is the practical walk of the believer. There's the peculiar walk of the believer. Chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Then there's the pattern walk of the believer. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 13. He talks about in the beginning of that chapter how we ought to walk in love. He said, first of all, as an imitator. He used the word followers there. Brother Sam, that means to mimic. He said, love as God would love. Yeah. And so, I thought about how does God love? Well, God loves, number one, in forgiving. There's some people, I'm telling you, boy, they'll hold it against you as long as you live. I'm going to be honest with you. There are people, they're going to do you wrong because we're just flesh and we are going to fail. And sometime we may hurt someone's feelings. You know what you need to do? You need to tell them you're sorry. And if they do, you need to forgive them and put it behind you. Amen. Be gone with it. Be done with it. That's what God would. Hey, wouldn't you think, what about this? What about if every day you got up, God reminded you what you did the day before? But thank God he doesn't do that. He forgives. I'm glad that he's a forgiving God. Hey, if he had not been, I wouldn't be here tonight. But thank God he forgives over and over and over. He said we're to love like he would love. Amen. He's forgiving. I thought about that he's forbearing. What about that? Some people, they are just hard to get along with. Let's just be honest. They're not easy to love. Amen? They'd rather fight than eat breakfast. Praise God. I'd rather eat breakfast. Hallelujah. And by the looks of some of you, you're with me. Amen? Forbearing. And then God's love is forever. It don't ever run out. I'm glad of that. Then he said, not only as an imitator, but as an initiator. He said, we're to walk as Christ loves. You know how Christ loves? He loves in submission. Can I tell you 90% of church problems would be dissolved if we just learned to submit ourselves one to another. If we would get filled with the Spirit of God. Years ago, I was young. I was in Bible college. And I was working with this man. I was probably 22 maybe. And I was preaching. And I preached on how we ought to dress. And a woman didn't like it. And so she came up to me after the service and she said, how is somebody like me, I'm in my 40s, you're in your little 20s, how is someone like me supposed to listen to you? Well, she didn't like my answer. I said, if you get full of the Holy Ghost, you can listen to anybody. What about that? That didn't make her too happy. It ain't about who's saying it. It's about what's being said. It's God's holy word. I didn't write the Bible. I just preached the word of God. Amen. And if we learn to submit ourselves, get full of the Holy Ghost, most of the church problem would disappear. Amen. Amen. We just got to have it our way instead of his way. Cannot be defrauded. We're going to do it my way. I'm going to tell you, friend, if we learn to submit, it'll be God's way and it'll be all right. Amen. Christ, not only a submissive, but as a sacrifice, he gave of himself, that we ought to give of ourselves. And so we're to walk in love. Number 6, the public walk of the believer. We're to walk in the light. We find verse 8 through 13. He tells us in verse 9, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. You know what that word means, Brother Danny? Virtue. It means to be kind. You see, you know what the world tells on us? And them stupid, you can tell them I told them they're stupid. That recovering fundamentalist bunch of garbage. They try to say that we're mean. I am not mean. I love people. I want to help people. I want lost people to be saved. But listen, because people live in sin don't mean I'm going to pat them on the head and act like everything is okay. It's not okay. Amen? We're to walk, but we can be kind. We're supposed to be kind. I do my best to be kind, but that doesn't mean I can't preach the truth. Amen?
Oh, that preacher, he's just so mean because he just preaches, because he preaches against your sin. That don't make him mean. Amen. He said, walk in light because of the goodness, and then the godliness. He said, in righteousness, in obedience. Then he said, in guidelines. He said, in truth. Walk in truth. Brother Jonathan, that we're not hypocritical. You know, it's one thing when you live one way at the house and one way at the job and another way with your friends. You shouldn't live that way. Brother Jack, we're supposed to live the same everywhere we go. Not being hypocritical. I know people say, well, I don't go to that church down there, so many hypocrites. Yeah, well, there's going to be a whole lot more hypocrites in hell, amen. But the truth of the matter is, we ought not give them an excuse. We ought not be a hypocrite. God help us, God help us, God help us to live a life in righteousness that we would not be a hypocrite. I want somebody to see God in my life. I want somebody to see Jesus in me. I don't want to ever be a stumbling block in somebody's life and send them to hell because I act like they do and they have no confidence in me. Amen. We see the public walk of the believer. He said we're to walk in light. Not only that, he said in verse 11, he said guarding ourselves from the fellowship of darkness. I'm going to tell you, the church today is in trouble. She's fellowshipping with a lot of darkness. It'd be amazing, probably, people in here listen to garbage music like Taylor Swift, who's full of the devil, who's got demon power to draw a crowd like Elvis Presley. Someone can make $1 billion traveling and singing. God, help us. Amen. I wouldn't listen to that garbage. Oh, no, I wouldn't listen to her. She don't care about God. She don't care about righteousness. She makes fun of you and I that believe in our flag and believe in righteousness and believe in America. I tell that crowd that don't like America, pack up your duds, go to Russia, praise God, and leave us alone. Amen. That's exactly right. God, help us to live in a way that we would guard ourselves with the things of unrighteousness and the world, amen. It isn't being a Baptist, being holy. Being a holy is a child of God. It don't matter if you're a Methodist or a Pentecostal. It don't matter who you are. If you're saved by the grace of God, we're supposed to live that way. Amen. Of course, ain't nothing wrong with going to heaven first class as a Baptist, amen. But anyway, we find number 7, the particular walk of the believer. He said, not only walk in love, not only walk in light, he said, walk in leadership. He said in verse 15 that we're to be careful in our steps. Being circumspect means being diligent. It means, but Caleb, that we're to be careful what we're doing. Be aware of what's going on around us. Being circumspect. Then he said that we ought to be conscious of the season. Redeeming the time. You've heard this before. Redeeming the time simply means to buy it up or to rescue it from loss. Brother Samuel, sometimes I'm thinking, well, I'd like to relax a little bit and kind of do some things I want to do. And I get to do that occasionally. But then a lot of times I start thinking about, well, I could read a little bit more in that book I've been reading. And I could work on that message I've been working on. You see, redeeming the time, not wasting. I'm afraid when we get to heaven, we're going to stand before the Lord. I'm not saying you, I said we, that we wasted a lot of time. Oh, that we could have been about our Father's business. I promise you one thing about the lovely Lord Jesus. He didn't waste any time. Many a time he prayed all night long, or he was up early. Praying and healing the sick, raising the dead. Oh, it's about the Father's business. I'm afraid sometimes. Listen, you can spend 5 hours in a video game. You're wasting your time. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all probably wish my tongue was bleeding. Amen. Which y'all prayed about that, and I thank you for that. I left here, got in the car, and never bled since. Hallelujah. Here's the bad part about it, Brother Sam. I bit my tongue on a stupid breakfast bar. If it had been a pork chop, praise God, that'd have been all right. But a stinking breakfast bar. But anyway, we find here that he talked about the conscience of the season. Then he talked about being controlled by the Spirit in verse 18. Now, you know that it is a command and not a choice. But Danny, he said, be ye filled. That is a command. Be ye filled. I'll tell you, there's a lot of absence of the Spirit of God in churches today and in Christians' lives. You know why? Because of two things. Number one, because of the criteria. You know what it is? Number one, digesting the Word of God daily. Colossians chapter 3 said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you do not read your Bible every day, I can promise you, you're not Spirit-filled. You got to have the Word of God inside of you. Amen and amen. Then there's got to be a dying to self. A dying to self. Paul said, I die daily. You say, what does that mean? That means every morning you get on your knees and yield yourself to the Holy Ghost that lives within you. That means you say, Lord, I want you to control my thoughts. I want you to control my motives. I want you to control my eyes. I want you to control my hands, my feet, everything about me. You're inside of me. I want you to take over. I don't want to live my life today. If I do, I will fail you. Amen. I wonder how often we get up in the mornings and yield ourselves. You'll not be filled with the Spirit if you don't. I like what Adrian Rogers said. He said, quit trying to persuade the Holy Ghost to fill you and just permit him to. He's already inside. The problem is that you said, you know what, Lord, I kind of like this over here. I'm not going to give you that part of my heart. And I really don't want to give that up either. So you can fill the other parts, but you see, he's not getting full control. And it's because we're not permitting him to. Guess what? He wants to. But Jason, he wants to. He wants to have all of us. He wants to control our mind. He wants to control our mouth. He wants to control our motives. He wants to control everything about us. And if we let him, he will. Amen. That's why I've got to pray for special grace when I travel. Amen. Because I want to run over everybody. But anyway, the truth of the matter is, I've got to say, Lord, I need to be filled. Bobby Barnes trying to resurrect this morning. I need you to put him back down. Amen. Because I will fail and you will fail. He said, walk in the Spirit that you'll do what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that simply means, but Jason, that means if I don't walk in the Spirit, I'm going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the church is very fleshly today. Now, don't get mad at me tonight. But you know what I'm seeing in churches that I've been preaching in for years? Teenagers starting to get tattoos up and down their legs. Yeah. Young ladies stand up, sing, and got tattoo from the foot all the way. You know what the Bible said? It said, don't mark on yourself. You know, that's still in the King James Bible. That don't make you popular today, but I can't help it. I'm just telling you, the Lord expects some things out of his children. Amen and amen. You say, well, that's my body, that's my business. No, if you belong to him, then you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Amen? So it isn't your body. Your body belongs to him. Amen? It may not be my business, but if you're saved, it's his business. Everything about us is his business. Because, as I said this morning, he paid the price. He died for you. He bought you. You belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Thank God I'm glad that I'm his child. I'm glad, hallelujah, he's my father. I'm glad to be in the family of God. Therefore, it is God's business what you do. Amen. But Stephen, it's not mine, but it is God's. Amen. I'm going to give you four things. We'll go to the house. Number one, verse 19, chapter 5. The first characteristic of being Spirit-filled, he said, is singing. Now, to yourselves, that word means communicating. It means more like in a gathering. It means like in a congregation. That is why if I do not know the song, I get a song book.
That's right.
Because I want to sing along. You see, here's what he said we're to do. Number one, we're to sing psalms. That means music to concentrate on the Lord. Like Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Then he said hymns. That is music to celebrate. Like when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When we all get to heaven, it is well with my soul. That is music that we sing together. That is hymns to celebrate. I thank God to magnify the Lord. And then, and can I say, not rip, rap, and country and rock music. Amen? That's right. And then he said spiritual song. Those are to motivate. So we got to concentrate, to celebrate, and thank God to motivate. That song means like this, Onward Christian Soldier. Hallelujah. I like it. I start hearing that. I want to go marching on. Amen. Onward Christian Soldier. Hold the fort, for I am coming. You know what that does? It motivates me. It makes me want to get my gospel gun and thank God, go out there and march in this whole world and let them know that Jesus saves, and thank God, wave of the bloodstained banner and let them know not everybody's turned a turncoat, not everybody has compromised, not everybody has given up, not everybody has quit, not everybody quit going to church on Sunday night, not everybody, but thank God there's some still are doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Singing. Communication. And number two, communion. He said, make a melody in your heart. I was in Bible college, first year, working general maintenance at the home. My wife Patty was in the Children's Home Tabernacle. And I worked there for about 6 or 8 months. And I remember, Brother Sam, I was going through just a valley. I mean a valley. You know what it did? It took my song away. Brother Laddie, we had a lady named Sister Donna, and she was the one who did the laundry. So we would see one another throughout the day, and because I was working on the grounds, and she came to me one day, and she said, Brother Bobby, what's wrong? You're not singing anymore. Because I'd just break out and sing, you know. And I said, you know, I haven't thought about that. I allowed that situation to take away my song. Don't allow a situation in your life to hurt your communion with God and to take away your song. I went home that evening and I said, Lord, I'm going to start singing again. Thank God it don't matter what the devil likes or not. I'm not going to let that valley take away my song. There ought to be within a heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. I'm glad, thank God, I can get up with a song, go to bed with a song. When we are spirit-filled, they'll be singing amen. Number two, there'll be supplication. He said in verse 20, you know what the command here is to do? It's to give thanks. You know, it's the will of God for every one of you every day. Brother Ladd, I don't know the personal will of God for you, but I tell you what I know, there's the will of God for you is the same as for me. I'm supposed to give thanks every day. Paul said in Thessalonians, this is the will of God. Every day you get up, you're supposed to give God thanks. Amen. You know what? It'll help you if you don't do that. You ought to get up every morning when I pray. I thank him for Calvary and the old rugged cross and the blood of the Lamb and him saving my old wretched soul. Every day I thank him. Amen. We're commanded to give thanks. Then he said we're to do it consistently. He said we're to do it always. A spirit-filled life, a characteristic of it, is someone who's not a grumbler or a complainer. If you are a grumbler and a complainer and you walk into a room and all you can do is find something negative here and something negative there and something negative over here and you don't like that and you don't like that, all that's telling me is you haven't died of flesh that morning and you're running your show and not the Holy Ghost. Because if you were filled with the Spirit, you'd walk in a room and say, praise God, I'm glad I'm not in hell. Ought to be in hell. I'm glad I'm saved. God's been good to me. I'm telling you, it's a characteristic of giving thanks. Amen. Yes, that's right. Amen. I don't know why we grumble and complain anyway. Yeah. We have no reason to. Our church went to Mexico, the church I was a member of in Carolina back in 98. Went over to build a church. And Brother Dave, they had nothing over there. The little dog, you could see his ribs, and the little pig they had tied up to fatten him up to eat, you could still see his ribs. I'm going to tell you, Brother Chris, you know what that'll do when you get over there and see that? Make you thankful for what you got.
Yes, sir.
I said, Lord, help me to never complain again. Yes. And I have to be honest, I have. But I try my best not to, because God is so good. Amen. He said, we're commanded to give thanks. We're consistent. He said, always. But then he said, the content is in all things. That's hard to do. It's hard to do when you go to the doctor and they give you that bad news. It's hard to do when you get that phone call. It's hard to do when you lose your job. It's hard to do. And the only way you can give thanks in all things is through the Spirit of God. Giving Him thanks for all. I remember probably around 2017, maybe we hadn't built a house here yet. And so we was living in the camper. And we went to a church, and Brother Samuel, I know you've had this happen too. And a fella hooked me straight up to 220 and blew some things up. And so, well, we couldn't stay at the church, and so the pastor called a place to go park at a campground. And when we got there, we plugged up the electricity, and we still had no lights. We didn't have anything because it blew the transfer switch. And so it began to rain. And we had to unload everything out of that in the car. And Patty began to have a seizure. And so she's over there shaking and it's raining. And I'm trying to get everything loaded in the car. And trying to get her to get in the car and to sit down before she fell down. And I'll be honest with you. In those times like that, it's not real easy to give thanks. But he said we're to give thanks in all things. And the only way we can do that is through the Spirit of God. Amen. You know why? Because he knows what he's doing. He never makes a mistake. He does all things well. But Paul, you know what I said? COVID was rampant. I said, I am not going to live in fear. I am not going to worry about getting COVID and die. Because if I get COVID and die, that's the way I was supposed to go out. COVID didn't catch God by surprise. He wasn't in heaven saying, oh no, what am I going to do? I can't believe they made this over in China. But anyway, he didn't say that. He knew those, my dad and Brother Charles and others who left here through COVID, that was the vehicle that God used to let them leave this life. He didn't catch God by surprise. He does all things well. Amen. We see that supplication, it's a characteristic of being Spirit-filled. Number three is submissive. Being submissive, verse 21. You know what we're supposed to be submissive to? Our head. Women don't like it today, but it's still in the Bible. She's supposed to be submissive to her own husband. They don't even like that on Fox News. They don't like it. They don't like it when you tell. But I'm going to say something to the men. You're supposed to be submissive to your head too, and that's Christ. Don't expect your wife to be submissive to you if you're not submissive to Him. See, and then Christ's head is God, and God and Christ will never get out of line. Brother Ratter, that'll never happen. But a lot of times we don't submit to our authority, our head. We want the wife to be in submission, but we're not in submission to Him. I wouldn't expect my wife to be submissive to me if I wasn't trying to be submissive to the Lord. It deals with the head, but then it deals with the heart, because he said, wives, and as unto the Lord. You're submitting yourself to your husband as you're submitting to Christ. You know why a lot of men and women fight and constantly argue and fuss? Because neither one of them are submitting to their head, which is Him. You wives submitting to your husband is unto the Lord. And can I say, I may get in trouble here, but can I say, men, God put you to be the authority of your home. There are times that me and Patty will disagree, and she said, well, I think we should do this. And I said, I really feel like the Lord wants us to do this. Yeah, I know, but I think it's, and I say, we're going to do this. You know what she says? Okay. Because I wouldn't say that unless I was 100% sure that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I'm going to try to my best to direct our home. Being submissive, that is a characteristic of being spirit-filled. Can I tell you this? If you're a rebel, you are either not saved or you're not spirit-filled. You're always contentious, always wanting to fight. I'm going to tell you, the more you spend on your knees and asking the Holy Ghost to fill you, the less you'll be like that. Amen. Number four, and I'm done. Sanctification, verse 25 and 26. We know, of course, there's positional sanctification. He made us holy when he saved us, but then there is progressive. That means that we strive to be holy. When's the last time you got real serious about being spirit-filled? When's the last time you really... I'm guilty, Brother Grant. Sometimes I'll rush through my prayer time, and then I say, Lord, help me. I want to be serious. I need you. I need you more than anything in this life. I can't do it without you. Let's stand tonight, if you would. They're going to come and play it.